This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? Alright, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well, hello there. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunnar Wardner, recording this intro from the countryside. So if you hear any tweeting birds or any sounds of nature, that is what is happening because the birds are up early, as am I, and they are tweeting their little beaks off. On this episode of the show, I am very happy to say that I am joined by the author, Jen Sincero. If you were watching my Insta stories earlier this week, you would have seen that I've been calling her Jen Sincero, which is incorrect. Jen Sincero, I interviewed her over Skype this week to talk about her book, mainly the book You Are a Badass at Making Money, Master the Mindset of Wealth. It's a number one New York Times bestselling book. She's also written You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. Now, I really love to read a self-help book or these sorts of books, really. But you can get easily put off by the fact that they can be a bit, as I call them, plinky plonky, like spa music, just a little bit too sanitized. Jen doesn't pull any punches, and she's very honest and open. She's definitely on your side, but she is a real truth teller. And her first book, You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life, was sent to me by the publisher for review months ago on a day when I was having a really tricky work day. And really what it boiled down to is I was having a really difficult time saying, actually, please don't treat me like that because it's inappropriate and wrong and it makes you a poo-poo head. I'm being immature, but you know what I mean. Sometimes you get caught in those situations where you feel like you're stuck in a rut, you feel like you're stuck in a difficult situation, and you feel too frightened to say, actually, you are treating me badly, or you're not being particularly kind, or you're not being professional, yet you don't say it because you don't want to cause a scene or you don't want to make a big hoo-ha. Anyway, I get home, this bright yellow book is in my postbox, and I devour the whole thing. And it was the thing that galvanized me to say, actually, no, I'm going to stop being treated like that. That's going to come to an end. Thank you very much. Which has led to far better things for me. So then enter a few months later, You Are a Badass at Making Money, Mastering the Mindset of Wealth. That comes through my door. I start reading that. And again, it's a similar type of galvanizing, come on, you can go and live your best life, which is a great thing to have by your bed in your handbag, just to be able to pick up these books, open them, and on those days when you feel perhaps not as confident or perhaps not as resolved as you would like to be, to have that cheerleader in your pocket who says, actually, it's okay for you to want to have better things, to want to be respected, to want to be paid appropriately, or whatever it might be. So for me personally, I really like the tone of the books. I like the fact that she says badass and keeps it very, very real. So I was very chuffed to speak to her. She is in New Mexico, or she was when I spoke to her this week. So we did the call on Skype. You will hear that we do this call on Skype. It's not as crystal clear as perhaps the face-to-face interviews often are. Also, I haven't figured out how to stop my computer pinging when things happen. So if you think you've got an email during the show and you haven't, I'm apologising because that is my email going off. We also have a competition to win a copy of the book, You Are a Badass at Making Money. We're giving away 8 copies. Details of how to enter will be in the Instagram post that goes live when this show goes live, which will be on Sunday the 18th of June. So head over to my Instagram at emmaguns.com and you will be able to see all the ways in which you can enter the competition. Full terms and conditions are over on emmaguns.com. Now, what else has been happening this week? Well, it's been a busy, busy week. It's been a lot of late nights and a lot of early mornings. So as I record this on Sunday, very, very close to the time when I normally like to publish, I'm shattered. And it's also, we're in the middle of a heat wave. I think the temperatures are going to go up to something like 30, 31 degrees today. So we are properly in a summer mood. And my summer mood was amplified this week. I was very lucky. I went to Liberty for the launch of Sam McKnight's new collection, which is Hair by Sam McKnight. Sam is one of the biggest names, has one of the most incredible careers in hair, is also known to be one of the most decent, nicest, easiest people to work with. And he has launched 4 products into the Hair by Sam McKnight range. And I trotted along, and it was amazing because it was one of those events where I've been in the beauty industry for a very long time, well, for over 15 years. When you go to these sorts of events, you see people that you might not have seen for such a long time. I bumped into Nicola Clark, the colourist, who does, I think she does people like Kate Winslet and Kate Blanchett. She is such a cool lady. And I got to chat to her, and I hadn't seen her for such a long time. I will put the links to follow her on Instagram. She's just a very cool person and I would love to get her on the show. Mary Greenwell was there, who was typically Mary Greenwell, grabbed my face and said, "Hello, darling, how are you?" which made me feel super special. I hung out with Edwina Ings Chambers and Susanna Taylor. Edwina is a freelance beauty journalist. She's written for huge titles. She was at the Sunday Times Style for many years. Susanna Taylor from formerly of Get the Gloss, who's now an incredible illustrator. I will put her links in my show notes because you need to be able to see what this woman can do. She does time-lapse videos of her illustrations and they are excellent. I saw the journalist Claire Coleman, who we always joke always needs the clinical trials and the stats because she's a very thorough journalist and she really knows her stuff. So it was a lovely evening. Sam was obviously there, Matthew Alexander, Joe Elvin, who was on the show last week. We had a quick chat. She said that she'd been getting lovely feedback about the show. So if you have been in touch with Joe, thank you so much for listening and for letting us know that you enjoyed it. But really the products, so there are 4, they are really brilliant. And it's so easy for me to say that, oh yeah, Sam McKnight's products are amazing. I said earlier, it's been a very busy week of late nights and early mornings. Read, Emma's had to make a decision about whether to wash her hair or not one morning this week because it was just too busy and the idea of blow drying and styling just wasn't on my radar. And I have very fine hair, I've talked about it in the past, so dry shampoos and things like that tend to just amplify the fact that Emma was lazy this morning. But one of the products is called Cool Girl Texturizing Spray. And it's really incredible because I'd tonged my hair the day before and I thought, you know what, I'll just give it a go. And I sprayed a bit of it in the roots and then sprayed some through the body, scrunched it all together. And my hair, when I went into work that day, everybody was like, oh, have you just been to the hairdressers? It managed to hold the style, it managed to refresh it, but it also gave my hair this weightless, it was very weightless. It wasn't, I could touch my hair and not feel like there was product in it, but it gave it texture and bounce, which was insane. So if that's what you're looking for in a product, Cool Girl Texturizing Spray, which is £25, the products are available at Liberty. The show notes will contain all of the links. I was unbelievably impressed. And then I may or may not have used the Lazy Girl dry shampoo the next day just to push it and see whether it worked. And by Jiminy, it did, and it didn't leave a talc-y residue. It just did that thing where it refreshed my roots. There were also there's also a product called Easy Updo, which again has texture and styling hold, and there's also the Modern Hairspray. I think they are on the ground floor at Liberty, by near the main entrance where you go in with the flower stalls. So if you are in London, definitely go and have a look. If not, take a look online. They are pretty special, and my experience with them so far, highly, highly recommended. Also this week, on one of my early mornings, as you know, I am at the moment, if you follow me, you know that I'm covering the brilliant Alex Friend beauty editor role at Red Magazine, and Red do these incredible events. And this month they did a smart event with Caroline Hirons. And so obviously I was made sure that I was there. Caroline did a brilliant Q&A about her own skincare regime, answered loads of questions about how to look after your skin in your 40s, how to manage facial hair, all sorts of things like that. And obviously we had a bit of a sing-song this week because of the outfit I was wearing, which involved tassels and a sort of Stevie Nicks vibe. This week our song of choice was Edge of 17. So head over to Spotify and download that if you feel so inclined, because there was lots of hooting going on when I saw her on Thursday. So let's get back to Jen Sincero. I've said it wrong again. Jen Sincero. She has had her books in the New York Times bestseller list for over a year. She has transformed her life. At the age of 40, she was living in a converted garage. She is now in her 50s and earning seven figures. One of the things is just changing the way that you talk to yourself, changing your vocabulary, all really simple changes. And she says it in the interview. It's not like you have to go on some course or you have to adapt a completely new way of learning or change anything dramatically. You just have to make these tweaks. And she talks about spiritual gym, which I love. We talk about how to handle rejection, which is a really important thing to learn, I think. And she has an excellent take on it that made me hoot and holler. And she essentially talks about how she's gone on this incredible transformation and how she's almost wrangled her life to be her best life yet. And I found it incredibly inspiring. I loved Jen from the books. I really thought, oh, I'd love to have a drink with this bird and have a really nice, have a proper put the world to rights chat with her. And we did a bit of that on this show, but she was as brilliant as I had hoped she was going to be. So I hope you enjoy it. As I said, there is a competition to win one of 8 copies of this book. It is restricted to the UK and Ireland. But if you go over to Instagram at Emma Guns, the post that will go out on June the 18th will feature all of the details of how to enter. And honestly, this is a book that you want to get hold of. The links to the books and Jen's website will also be in the show notes. Before we get into it, I just wanted to say as well, thank you so much to everybody who has been writing reviews on iTunes. As you know, this is a free podcast. This is free to download and it's free to stream. And moving up the charts is something that happens when people support and invest in the show. And part of that investment is people who are taking the time to write these reviews. Thank you so, so much for your support. I really, truly appreciate it. I was sitting at the dinner table. I'm at home for the weekend. It's Father's Day in the UK this weekend. And I was flicking through my phone last night. And I went, oh, the show's number 15 on the iTunes charts in the arts section. And it was just, that's lovely. Thank you so much for your support. It means the absolute world to me. As ever, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can email me directly on thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. You can also go to my website, Emma Guns, and there's a little envelope at the top. If you click that, your message will come directly to my inbox. You can also tweet me at Emma Guns. If you enjoy the show, please do just send me a tweet. Feel free to copy in the guest and say that you've enjoyed it. Equally, DM me or comment over on Instagram, where I'm also at Emma Guns. All of that. I do try to get back to everybody personally and as quickly as possible. But just so you know, thank you so much to everybody who's taken the time. Don't forget, you can subscribe. Subscribing means that you will never, ever miss an episode of the show, because iTunes will tell you, and you can also listen on my website, and Acast has it up there. So if you want to listen on Android, that's the way of doing it. I do believe there are other ways as well. Let's get into Jen Sincero. She was on Skype. You can slightly tell the difference. There are a couple of phone pings. Sorry about that. But I hope that despite all of that, you really enjoy the show and you get something out of it. If you do, please do let me know. I would have sent her a fan mail had I not spoken to her. So I would be very interested to learn if the chat inspires you. Thank you so much again for tuning in. This is the Emma Gunn Show with Jen Chin. No. This is the Emma Gunn Show with Jen Sincero. Jen Sincero, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be speaking to you. I am holding your books, two of your books, because there are more than two, in my hands. And I think one of the things I love about them, A, the colours, and B, the fact that they have badass on the front, which I think was a deliberate thing. Is that not true? To sort of change the vocabulary of self-help?
Absolutely. Yeah, I needed to stick some irreverence in there.
Because you have been on this incredible transformation. You took a journey, your own journey, into self-help. And is it correct that when you were doing all of that, you thought, there's a voice here that I'm not hearing that I really want to hear?
Yeah. And, you know, not just for the people who have already sort of drank the self-help Kool-Aid. I know when I was reading self-help books, I wanted something that was a bit more fun and had stories and curse words in it, but I also really wanted to welcome in the people who wouldn't really touch self-help with a 10-foot pole because they thought it was too woo-woo or too, I don't know, earnest or something. So I was hoping to make this information available to more people as well.
I've read the books and I find them incredibly inspiring. And am I right in saying that in your 40s, you were living in a converted garage?
Yeah.
And now,
sadly, I'm afraid you are.
And now you've been, what is it, is it New York Times bestseller list for over a year? And you are not living that life anymore.
Exactly.
Because the thing I get from the book is it's about changing your outlook and it's about changing your attitude. Is there one moment in time that you can link it all back to where you feel like you're transformation, if that's what we want to call it, started?
Not really. And I really believe that for most people, it isn't like, you know, I almost got hit by a bus and killed and figured out I got to get my life together. It was more, I just woke up. It's the same thing that we refer to as an aha moment. You know, you can hear the same thing over and over and over again. And then suddenly, for some reason, you finally get it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for me, I just got really sick of hearing myself say I can't afford it over and over and over again. And I woke up and I was like, okay, I am done saying I can't afford it. I am going to get rich. And I really, that was it. I just made the decision.
And you didn't have to change who you were as a person to do that. You didn't have to become ruthless. I know in the books you talk about the negative words that you can sometimes attach to money.
Yeah, well, I actually did have to make a lot of changes about how I was thinking and how I was acting and who I was being. Mm-hmm. So I had to really become conscious of the words I was saying and the beliefs that I was just taking as truth without really thinking about them a lot. You know, like I didn't realize how much I disrespected money and people who went after making money. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that if you decided you were going to get rich and focused on making money, that there was something wrong with you, that you had bad morals. I also found out that I believed that I would have to do a lot of stuff I hated to make money. I also believed that I wasn't capable of it and that it wasn't available to me the way it was to some other people. You know, these were all things that once I made the decision to get rich, I started doing the work. And the biggest part, you know, the first step is always becoming aware of what your stories and what your drama is around money, because most of it is very unrealized and very subconscious. And it's critical.
And I read as well, there's the barriers that you put into place, as you say, without even realizing it, like whether it's guilt or not wanting to out-earn your parents, because if you feel that you do better than them, that it somehow takes the shine off the upbringing they gave you, and lots of things like that. How did you unpick all of that?
First, I made the decision, so I'm just going to really stress that because it's very important. And part of making that decision is being available to be wrong about money being the root of all evil and, mm-hmm. You know, the economy sucks and it's impossible for me. So you've got to drop your attachment to those stories. And I have an exercise in You Are a Badass at Making Money where I have people write a letter to money. I actually put it in both badass books. It's the only exercise I repeated because I think it's so powerful. Mm. Where, you know, and I did this exercise myself. I sat down and I, you know, wrote a letter to money as if it's a person. And it is a very sobering exercise. You know, I learned that, you know, it's like, dear money, I love you. I wish I had more of you, but I don't trust you. And I feel like a dirty whore admitting that I want you. Mm. And there was so much push-pull in there, and it really woke me up to the fact that I had a lot of stuff going on around money. Most of us do.
And you've put examples of letters that people who've read the books have written to money too. And there's a real common theme. It's like a bad relationship. It's a codependent problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's funny, you know, when you do this exercise, you go from wondering why you can't make any money to realizing, my God, it's a miracle that I make any at all, because right. I'm so push-pull and all over the place about it.
And you also talk about the decision to make money is that flip of the switch is like saying, right, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to start dating so I can find someone that I'll end up marrying. It's sort of an instant moment. How does one maintain that? Because, you know, we all know that we fall off the wagon. These journeys aren't necessarily linear. What's the advice to keep pushing through even when it doesn't feel like it's going to happen, or you feel despondent or unmotivated?
Well, first of all, understanding that you don't have to be 100% all the time positive and excited and happy and going for it. And, you know, we're humans. We have emotions, and there are going to be days where you feel like a giant sucking thing and you don't believe it's possible and you have a big pity party for yourself. So allow yourself that. That is normal, mm-hmm. but you are unauthorized to stay there. And that's where we get into trouble, is when we decide that this is the truth and it's our reality, and we, you know, continually look for proof that we do suck at dating and that money is unavailable. So feel it, but get over it. Yeah. And then the way to stay on that party train of awesomeness is to go to the spiritual gym, as I like to call it. You know, create a practice for yourself every single day. Read a self-help book that inspires you for 5 minutes. Meditate. Listen to guided meditations. Listen to music that pumps you up instead of makes you depressed. You know, go hiking out in nature. What surround yourself with people who inspire you and make you feel like you can kick ass, you know. But you've got to figure out, what is it for you that makes you feel powerful? What specific things is it for you? And you've got to put it in your schedule, and you have to do it every day. It's like going to the gym. You've got to work out every day and keep those muscles strong if you want to stay in shape. Same thing with your mindset. You've got to keep it in shape. And just hoping it's going to happen isn't going to work. You've got to have these specific pieces in place to get yourself where you need to go.
And it's the recovery, isn't it? It's like you say, have a pity party, but come back to your default position and make that default position a positive one, as opposed to a, oh yeah, no, I am useless. I do suck.
Yeah, and having this spiritual gym practice in place, when you're ready to stop feeling sorry for yourself, get back in the game and go to that gym.
Do you have muscle memory of perhaps when you were living in the garage where you, do you remember, do you know if you're slipping back, or is it just not even on your radar anymore?
You know, it not really. It really, financially, I feel like I've been living in a completely different reality for so many years now that I can remember some of the things I was feeling, but I've become a different person in my relationship with money. So I don't fear slipping back to that level. I still have to go to the gym for sure and keep my mind set big and keep pushing myself and stretching myself and getting outside of my comfort zone. But I feel pretty distant from the garage days, thank God.
Well, I can absolutely imagine. Can we talk about not apologizing for wanting to make money and the fact that perhaps that's more of more relevant to women than it is to men? You made a very good point. I listened to another interview where you said men are raised to be money earners, whereas women not so much. So this is new muscle that we're flexing or stepping out of a comfort zone or into new territory, as it were.
Oh my gosh, yes.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I am really on the war path about women really erasing the term I'm sorry from the majority of their vocabulary. You know, I was in the supermarket the other day and I bumped into a woman and she said, I'm sorry. And I was like, really? What, for standing there? Like, why are you sorry? And, you know, and we absolutely shy away from making money in more ways than we realize. Now in our conscious minds, everybody's like, sure, give me tons of money. I'll take it all day long. But we've been raised to think that being successful isn't feminine, that being ambitious and confident is bitchy, that we have to act like men if we're going to be successful. So there's a lot of stuff that is instilled in our very fiber from the day we are born into this patriarchal society that discourages us from being financially successful. And I think it's getting better. And I think there is incredible amounts of power to waking up to our own deep, deep-seated beliefs and misogyny that we've all got and questioning it and being like, oh, I'm not going to participate in that anymore. And I'm not going to apologize anymore. And I'm going to go for it and be awesome and feminine and powerful.
And you're also a life coach. I'm right in thinking you still do that, don't you?
I am not actively coaching right now, but I think once a life coach, always a life coach.
Did you notice a difference in vocabulary when you were coaching men versus women?
That's an interesting question. You know, in my own vocabulary or theirs?
In theirs.
In theirs. Huh. You know, not off the top of my head, but I do know that there is a deeper sense of fear and sorrow around making money for women than a lot of the men I spoke to. And, you know, that's not to say that men don't have their own challenges around it and their own blocks around it. You know, there's certainly a lot around, you know, you're supposed to be successful and a big breadwinner. I mean, that brings on a lot of stuff for men as well. Mm-hmm. So they've definitely got their own challenges. But yeah, I think women, it comes down to the confidence and the permission to make money for women much, much more than it does for men.
And the thing I love about the tone of your book, so I actually, the first book, You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life, actually dropped in my mailbox on a day when I'd had a very frustrating meeting with a very difficult client. So it literally dropped out of the universe into my lap. And I think I wrote a very long Instagram post about it because I think I read it that evening. And subsequently stopped working for that client.
Oh, awesome.
And the thing I liked about it was you don't pull any punches. Like, you're not going to say, come here and have a cry on my shoulder, Emma. But equally, you are on my team. But you're saying, it's all up to you. No one's going to handhold you through this. I can tell you how it works. And you talk about the universe and mantras and all of that kind of stuff. But I really like the fact, is that the feedback that you get, the fact that you give people ownership of being able to change their lives and make decisions?
Yeah, and I think, you know, and it's funny because I feel like that is also one of the biggest blocks for change is that we don't want to take responsibility. It's so much easier to be a victim to the economy or a victim because your parents told you you were an idiot your whole life or a victim, you know, that, you know, being broke runs in your family or whatever. It's, you know, it's quote unquote easier. And, however, it's so much more fun when you do realize that you really are in control and that you can change your life and that we all have different challenges. I'm not saying it's the same for everybody, but we definitely all have the ability within us to create what we desire. And when you start to look at that as something that is really exciting and real, you can completely transform your life.
Mm. Do you think sometimes people get wrapped up in what other people think of them? They stop realizing or stop channeling what they can achieve. You know, oh, I'm going to start my own business. Oh, but my friend thinks I'm crazy. I don't have the funds. All of those sorts of thoughts just layer upon someone's drive and just kill it.
I think it's one of the biggest joy killers on earth is kowtowing to what other people think of you and listening to their doubts, fears, and worries, which is why I am such a strong advocate that one of the most important things you can do is to surround yourself with other people who are kicking ass, who have your back, who when you tell them you're going to do something exciting and risky and daring, instead of telling you the 8 million ways that it won't work, offering you support and cheering you on and modeling for you that, you know, I did it too. You can do it too. It's so critical.
I listened to another interview you did where, and it was one of those moments you said it and I thought that's so true. The people who are there for you when you're on the downs and outs may seem great, but actually it's the people who, when you're on the up and you're doing well, who cheer for you, that you kind of almost appreciate more.
Yeah, because when you're down in the dumps and somebody comes to help you, and don't get me wrong, like I am so grateful to anybody who's ever helped me when I was in the pits, but they get something out of it too. You know, they get to feel like the hero and they saved you and they're helpful. When you cheer somebody on who is kicking ass, especially if you are not at that moment yourself, there's nothing in it for you. And so my friends and my colleagues who support me all the time, regardless of whatever position they're in, that is very impressive to me. And that's the kind of person I aspire to be as well. I think that really shows a level of evolution that is impressive.
Now, one of the things that I have really taken away from your book, particularly the second book, is I turn 40 later this year, and my podcast listeners know I keep banging on about it. And there's almost this element of, well, wherever you're at now, that's where you're going to be because you've had 40 years. And if this is where you are, then that's what you want. I need to believe, Jen, I need to believe so hard that this isn't it, turning 40 doesn't mean that I'm not capable of progressing or getting better. Please encourage me.
Well, listen, you made the right call because I was living in a converted garage at the age of 40. I was $20,000 in debt at the age of 40. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life at the age of 40. And I am 51 now, and I am making seven figures. I'm living in an amazingly beautiful house. I travel the world all the time. Mm-hmm. If my broke ass can do it, you can do it. Trust me.
Yes, God. Does visualization plays a massive role in the books and in your journey, as it were? How does one visualize realistically and in a way that's achievable?
Realistically is one of my favorite words because it's so ridiculous. Think about it. Realistically, if we subscribe to that, nothing would get done. Like, realistically, could we put a man on the moon? Realistically, could we build skyscrapers? Realistically, could humans fly? You know what I mean? So it's a really interesting term. And realistically, what is in your heart is the truth. And I know that sounds really woo-woo, but it's when we have the audacity to believe in our desires more than what is currently surrounding us. You know, when we make the truth our desires, not our circumstances, that's when we empower ourselves. So, you know, there I was in a converted garage, age of 40, never made a dime my whole life, sucked at making money, didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. I could have latched onto that easily for the rest of my life because I had 40 years of proof that that was the truth. And it wasn't until I was like, I am bored and I am tired and I hate this, that I was like, I decided that that was not my truth. And that, you know, I made my mantra, I live in an abundant universe and money flows to me freely and easily. I live in an abundant universe and money flows to me freely and easily. I said it all the time, especially when I wanted to say I can't afford it. My old mantra was I can't afford it. And it was that switching of my focus and that decision to believe in something that seemed so out of my reach and so impossible and so unrealistic. Just putting myself in that mode of thinking and saying and believing and focusing raised my energy, and it opened me up to all the opportunities that I wasn't allowing myself to see because I was being, you know, subscribing to this other quote unquote reality mm-hmm. that was my environment. So I started visualizing new things for myself. And that really is the key, is acting as if before the new reality appears in front of you.
I think you talked about woo-woo, but I think what I love about the books is that, yes, you talk about the universe listening, having a glass pressed up to the wall of your thoughts and desperately trying to catch on to what you're thinking so it can deliver. But equally, you are very realistic. And like I said, you know, you're the friend who'll say, who'll give it to you straight. And I love the...
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Well, I just want to say one more thing about the realism thing. Mm-hmm. If you're making, let's say, 70 pounds a year and you want to make a million pounds a year, right? You want to, and I don't think that's impossible, by the way. People do it all the time. But the reality part of that is you've got to have an income stream in place. You've got to have a hardcore spiritual gym in place. You've got to go at it like your life depends on it. So you can do it, mm-hmm. but you might, you know, depending on how much you've got into place, and you can get those things in place, but it has to have meaning behind it. So that $1 million a year, what are you spending it on? What are you doing to make that money? Why is it important to you? When you get into those specific pieces around what you're creating, that's how you empower yourself to make it. So the reality comes in, the realistic part comes in based on your desires. And so back in the day when I was in the converted garage, of course, who doesn't want to make millions of dollars a year? But for me, I wanted to get out of debt and I wanted to make a certain amount of money that would allow me to buy a car that actually freaking worked and to move into a much nicer place. So my visualization of all these different things grew as I grew. Mm-hmm. And continues to grow.
Very interesting. I really like that part of the book as well, where you say you have to crystallize it. Don't just say, I want millions. Say what mm-hmm. you want millions for.
Yeah. Because that's where you get the energy and the emotion behind it, because vagueness doesn't inspire us. You know, the second it gets hard, you're like, oh, well, I guess I'm not going to be a millionaire this year, you know, but if you're like, I have found the beach house I am going to buy, I am traveling to these specific places in the world, and this is exactly how much that is going to cost. I am donating this much money to the charity that I love and feel so strongly about. Those things will get you out of bed in the morning, rolling up your sleeves and taking huge risks to catapult yourself into a new reality. The vagueness will get you nowhere.
Yes. Writing lists. Do you journal as well as write lists?
I do when I'm not a daily journaler, but I am a big believer that writing stuff down makes it happen. And it also, you know, there's two things: writing down the lists of what you desire and focusing on it and reading it every single day, very powerful. And I also think journaling just to discover what hidden beliefs you've got underneath, you know, your conscious mind is very powerful as well.
One of the things that you say in the book, and it's so true, and you actually give a stop saying this and start saying this, but it's pay attention to what comes out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's that universe having the glass up against against you. If you're using the wrong kind of vocabulary or a limiting vocabulary, that's what you're going to get.
Oh my gosh. And it's so powerful and it's so stupid. You know, it seems so, just because I say that, it's going to happen. But I'm telling you, I used to say I am broke about 40, or I can't afford it 30 times a day back in the day. Everything was, I can't afford it, I can't afford it, I can't afford it, I can't afford it. And because we love to be right as human beings, so if that was my mantra, I can't afford it, I was focusing on I can't afford it. And then I would pull into my consciousness all the proof that I, Jen Sincero, can't afford that. Look at my bank account. Look at the crappy car I'm driving. Look at my 40 years of experience of not being able to make money. It is the truth, and this is the reality. I can't afford it. And I kept, you know, anchoring it in by saying it over and over. When I made the decision to get rich and changed that to I live in an abundant universe and money flows to me easily and freely, because I was saying it over, and I was saying it out loud, I was walking around saying it in my car, I didn't care. Like, the decision to get rich means doing a lot of stuff that makes you super duper uncomfortable. And walking around saying that stuff made me really uncomfortable, but I wasn't screwing around anymore. And so by saying that, I was like, I live in an abundant universe. Okay, I'm saying this every day. How do I see that manifest in the world? Where is the abundance? Money flows to me easily and freely. When has it? Where is the proof of that? Where are opportunities where that could happen? It forced me to focus on all different things and pulled into my consciousness way bigger and better things and more abundant things because I was looking for it.
Because I think with books out there like The Secret that say manifest, and I remember reading that years ago and just thinking, and it was some stupid example, like I want a pair of Manolo Blahniks or something. I was watching too much Sex in the City, which is bad for anyone at the time. But actually, it's not about saying I want this. It's about changing your mental landscape to accommodate the opportunities and the pathways towards something. Is that right? It's to say, if I'm asking for this, if I crystallize what I want, then I'm going to see that opportunity that I wouldn't have seen before.
Exactly. And here's the thing about that. When you see the opportunity, it's going to scare the crap out of you and be really uncomfortable. So right now, wherever you're at, the thing you desire is available to you right now. You just have to be available to do what it takes. So for me, it was all about money, right? And I never made money and I didn't have opportunity. When I changed my mindset and started focusing on different things, the opportunity was there. You know, the first big thing I did was hire a life coach, and she cost one quarter of my annual income at the time. And I was in debt. I wasn't making money. And in the old days, my old mantra would have fit in beautifully. I can't afford it. Next, 10 years go by, still broke, still in the garage. But because I'd made the decision and changed my story, instead of saying I can't afford it, I was like, all right, she's $7,000. I'm figuring it out. And I figured it out and I hired her, and then I tripled my income in 3 months. But wow, so that opportunity was there when I was in the garage being broke and attached to being broke. Mm-hmm. It was more about the availability to see and take action on the scary, uncomfortable opportunities that are there all around all of us all the time.
And it's not about being reckless either. It's about being and just spending a quarter of your salary on something reckless and disposable. It's saying, I'm spending this to make more. You're finishing your own sentence, as it were.
Yeah. And it's, yes. And because that fear and that discomfort is paired with the excitement of sort of what we were talking about before, like focusing on the goal. Mm. So it's about, is this opportunity that is scaring the living crap out of me right now going to take me closer to my goal? And if the answer is yes, you got to jump on it.
Can we talk a little bit about rejection and how difficult that is for a lot of us, and how when anyone is going out there asking for money for their services or for their ideas, that they are going to encounter at some point types of rejection? How do you coach people to manage that and deal with it?
To see it as a stepping stone and to see it as proof that you are getting outside of your comfort zone, and be proud of your rejections. If you don't have any rejections, you're not even trying.
Oh, that's so amazing. I love that. I love that. I might have to get that tattooed on my ass. That is amazing. I won't, but you know what I'm saying.
So, oh, please do. Come on.
Rejection is proof that you're trying and proof that you're outside of your comfort zone. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I know there's all the stories about J.K. Rowling submitted the Harry Potter book to, I don't know, a gazillion publishers before one took it up and look what happened. But is it seeing rejection as exactly that? You could be J.K. Rowling one day and look at her.
Well, that's exactly what happened to me too. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to publish You Are a Badass. Nobody. And now it's been on the New York Times bestseller list for over a year, sold millions of copies. I mean, it's that tenacity. And that,
how did you convince them? How did you change yourself?
We just kept at it. So honestly, it wasn't a matter of convincing them. It was a matter of standing in my belief that my desire to publish this book and my knowing that, damn it, it needs to be in the world, sticking by myself and not giving up until somebody else saw the light. Is what it was. And not taking the quote unquote reality that every professional in the publishing industry told us that it wasn't going to sell and they weren't going to publish it. Mm. There is no lack of doubt, fear, and worry in the world that people are going to smear all over you. Where you place your focus is the key. So you keep focusing on your excitement. And that's why going to the spiritual gym is so important. Reading the self-help books, listening to music that pumps you up, going out in nature, hanging out with people who are kicking asses. You have to keep that spark alive because we live in a fear-based society and it will try to smother you. So you have to put the work in to stay, keeping your mindset strong, 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 strong. One of the most important things you can do.
I love the spiritual gym, and that's where you build your mental strength, isn't it? The spiritual gym.
Yep.
So yep. That's meditation, that's visualization. And also, is it the mantras?
Yep, all of that.
Daily practice to keep yourself super strong. Now, we've talked about the word sorry, but may we quickly talk about the word no? Obviously, we've talked about rejection, but I'm talking about me being able to say no, or someone who's listening to this, who's being offered a lunch in exchange for their insight, or is being asked to write for free, or any of those things, and being able to say no.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you talk before about if you say yes to something you don't want to do, it sends out an icky energy.
Yeah, it's about valuing yourself and not coming from a desperate need to be liked. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you really love yourself and value yourself, you have excellent boundaries. You understand that when you say yes to somebody out of guilt and obligation, you're not doing them a favor either. I don't want somebody to do something for me if they don't want to do it. You know what I mean? But it starts from having your own appreciation and respect for yourself, and then that will flow out to respecting others as well.
Incredible. Right. Now, I know our time is drawing to a close, but do we have a Jen Sincero final thought for listeners? What's next? Is there another book? Please, God, let there be another book.
Oh, there's always another book. Are you kidding? you know, I'm taking the summer to really get clear on what I want to Manifest Next. I just finished You Are a Badass at Making Money. So I'm going to allow myself to celebrate that and to really enjoy promoting that and sharing that information. It just came out, 2 months ago. So let's stay with her for a while. And then, then I'll get on with the next round. But right now it's all about the badass at making money.
It really is. And thank you so much for your time. And also thank you for being the person who wrote this book and put it in my hands, because it already means a lot to me. You are a badass.
Oh, thank you.
Both books are absolutely brilliant. And listeners, the links will obviously be in the show notes to get your hands on these books. So, Jen, thank you so much. Where are you, by the way? I know that you're on a time difference and you're back in the States, but whereabouts in the States are you right now?
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Well, I bet it's beautiful. I thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for being on the Emma Gunn Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
I hope you enjoyed that episode of the show featuring Jen Sincero. I know I did. If you want to get in touch with the show, remember, all you have to do is email thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or go to my website, emmaguns.com, click the envelope, and that message will come directly into my inbox. And also, if you're listening on iTunes, please do subscribe. And if you feel so inclined, why not leave a star rating and a written review of the show? It's the kind of thing that really helps a show like mine move up the iTunes charts. Also, don't forget that I am on social media. I am at Emma Gunns on Twitter, and I'm also at Emma Gunns on Instagram, where you can DM me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You can tweet me, you can leave comments under my pictures, and I do try to get back to everybody who gets in touch as quickly as I possibly can. Thank you again for listening. There is another great guest coming up next week, so hopefully you'll be tuning in then. Thanks again, and see you on the next one.